Good morning.
Good morning.
We're going to be looking at a passage from the life of Christ. But first, we're going to start off by going to the Old Testament, thinking about something very familiar passage, a very familiar section, a very familiar subject in the Old Testament for just a few moments. The Ten Commandments, very familiar passage in Exodus chapter 20, is where you find this. Moses has gone up to the top of the mountain, and God has given him these commandments, engraved them on stone for his people. Of course, God had many rules, laws for the people to obey, but he focused on these 10. Let's think about them for just a few moments. The first few are concerning man and his relationship to God. It talks about in Exodus chapter 20 that have no other gods before me. The true God told his people, no graven images. Warns them against making other images and worshiping idols, not using the name of the God of the Lord in vain, taking God's name very seriously in how we use it, honoring the Sabbath day, a certain day that God set aside for rest and for honoring him. All very serious, but then he goes about the next six about the seriousness of man's relationship with other man. He talks about honoring your father and mother, not killing, not committing adultery, being very serious about your relationship with other people, not stealing, not bearing false witness, respecting other people. But you know, the last one, verse, and it's let's see, verse 17, Exodus 20:17. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house, thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. I think probably often this is probably one of the most overlooked. We don't think about that subject too much. Covetousness here, coveting meaning wrongful desire for wealth or for possessions. Now notice that. Wrong desire for, wrongly placed, wrongly intended desire for. God thought this was very important. He put it in the list of these 10 commandments that he specially picked out for his people. He put it in the same list with honoring him placing no other God before him. He knew that would be important. More important than our possessions is our attitude about our possessions. So we want to think about this morning. Jesus taught on this subject. So we're going to go to Luke chapter 12 and talk about that for just a few moments here. Luke chapter 12. Jesus meets a man here, and through this encounter with this fellow, he has an opportunity to teach something, which we can learn from today also, as he answered this man's question to him. This man approaches him. We'll read Luke chapter 12, we'll read verse 13 through 15. Luke chapter 12, verse 13. And one of the company said unto him, Master, speak to my brother, that he divide the inheritance with me. So we'll stop there for just a moment. Verse 13. Someone who is there comes and begins to speak with the Lord. People often did this. You'll find this throughout the New Testament stories. Wherever the Lord went, people came and would speak with him. But someone here, a young man, someone comes to him and talks about his inheritance, apparently. Their father must have passed away, and this fellow here is concerned about how he and his brother are going to divide their inheritance, what their father has left them. Obviously, it's bothering this fellow. Let's read on, verse 14. And he said unto him, this is the Lord's words, Man, who made me a judge or a divider over you? And he said unto him, Take heed and beware of covetousness, for a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth. There we see covetousness. There we see the same thing we mentioned earlier in the Ten Commandments. Jesus' answer is kind of abrupt here, how he answers this man. The man asks him, Lord, could you help me with this? You know, I want you to speak to my brother. Basically, the Lord looks at him and says, that's not my job. I'm not your judge. In other words, there was a system set up for this. There were courts and there were people they could go to answer these kind of questions. That wasn't so important. It's not that the man's concerns in life weren't important to the Lord. It's just the Lord knew there was a system in place to take care of that. But as Jesus often did, he took advantage of this opportunity to teach something. And it's very good here. Verse 15. Take heed and beware of covetousness, for a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth. Lord's warning says our life should not be controlled by what we have, or maybe what we want to have, what we desire to have, what we're planning to have. Our life should not be controlled by that. That's what the covetousness has the idea of, is controlling. Notice again the words there in verse 15. Man's life consisteth, means the meaning of his life. What is the meaning to your life? What's so important to you? If it's your possessions, if it's other people's possessions, if it's desiring to have what others have, then you have a problem. Strong warning. And oftentimes, just as the Lord does here, oftentimes when he would have an opportunity like this, he would follow it up with a parable, a story used to teach a particular truth. And that's what he does next. And so we're going to look at this parable verse by verse and see what the Lord says here. Verse 16 first. And he spake a parable unto them, saying... Notice how he says that to them. The people that were gathered around, again, as the Lord did, he took an opportunity here to teach. He answered this young man's, this fellow's question with just a simple, I can't help you with that. But, let me help everybody here. And not just them, but us today too. Let's help you with something. Verse 16. He spake a parable unto them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. A certain rich man. Again, in the parable, it's just not a particular person. He doesn't name him. This is not a particular person. Could have been anyone at any time. But all we know about them here is they have a lot of possessions. And right off the bat, some people might read that and go, wow, look at that. That's great. He's got a lot. It says his rich man, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. He got a lot of stuff. Easy to look at others. Maybe others looked at this rich man and thought, wow, he's doing good. He must be doing very well. He's got a lot of stuff. But remember what the warning about covetousness. It's easy to look at others and think, wow, they've got a lot. And oftentimes that can lead to this next thought. I wonder why I don't have as much as they do. Why not me? That's what covetousness does sometimes. Remember our meaning of the phrase there. Wrong desire, and it's a wrong desire to covet is. It leads to bad things, leads to bad results, leads to bad thoughts. Why not me? And this rich man, when we see him. Verse 17 goes on, Jesus' words, and he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do? Because I have no room where to bestow my fruits. Wow. I have no room. He has so much. His ground has brought forth so much, he doesn't even have anywhere to store it. Wow, what a problem to have. But notice what he says, though. He says, he thought within himself, oh, what will I do? Notice what he did not do. It doesn't say anything about the Lord. It doesn't say anything about considering God in this matter. It says, the idea is, he reasoned within himself. He had been blessed with so much. But according to this story, he didn't consider the Lord in this matter at all. His mind was controlled with having more and more and more. And that's what coveting is. Wrongful desire for possessions, for things. A wrong desire. It doesn't mean possessions are wrong. I mean, we have to have things. It's the wrong desire for them. That's what this man was controlled by. We often use the word greed, and it seems that way according to his words. He says, what shall I do? It's like he's in trouble. And he's not troubled because of a real worry. He's in trouble because I have so much, I don't even know what to do with all I have. What a problem. And he's worried within himself. Let's continue, verse 18. And he said, this will I do. Ah, he's got his answer. He's reasoned within himself, and he's come up with his own answer. This will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater. And there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. He's got his answer now. I'll destroy the barns that I have, pull them down. I'll build bigger barns. I'll be able to keep all my stuff, basically. what to do with all that God has given him. But he doesn't think of it that way. He doesn't think, what shall I do with all that God has blessed me with? He had that attitude, we would see a different story here. Instead, he says, what shall I do with what all I have, all of my possessions that I have acquired? Of course, we know that everything we have and everything comes from the Lord, whether we have great or small, it does come from the Lord. He allows it to happen. There's two problems that I see when I look at this verse right here, this idea right here. First, he says, these are my fruits, my God, my goods. This is my stuff. Again, the idea is everything comes from the Lord. Everything comes from God. And you know what? And only a heart that is controlled by God can understand this. This man was not controlled by the Lord. He didn't seek to be controlled by the Lord. He didn't want to be controlled by the Lord. He was controlled by self. He says, I will do this. I will do this thing. I will build this town. I have all this stuff. I have acquired all this stuff. I will build it. I have an idea. I have a problem. Now I have a solution. I will build these bigger barns and I will take care of this. Only self. Never considers the Lord. Second problem was, he says, I'll put all my goods in a barn. He doesn't consider what God wants him to do. He doesn't think about maybe sharing the blessings of the Lord. We don't find that here at all. Keep it all for myself. That's how the ungodly mind thinks. The ungodly mind doesn't think of others. The ungodly mind thinks of self. Doesn't think of others. Going on, verse 19. And I will say to my soul, here he's coming to the end of his discussion with himself. And I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Then he says, take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. After he's reasoned through how to handle this problem that he has, all this stuff, what to do with it. In the end, he thinks it's going to be okay. I can now do, what does it say? I can now take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. Wow. Think about how he does this here. He says, I will say to my soul, again, notice his attitude here. I don't consider the Lord. I will say to my soul, first, I will be satisfied. You know, my heart will be satisfied. He's confident in this. You know what? My heart will be satisfied if I'll just stuff everything in a barn. I'll be satisfied with that. He's confident that and satisfied in the fact that these barns will meet his needs. But only God truly can meet our needs. Also, he says, there will be enough for many years. Look, and he said, this will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater. I will bestow all my fruits and all my goods. I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods. Look at this, laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat and drink. His plan for the future is to trust in those things. Trust in what he has done and his stuff. This will bring him the easy life. Now, through his work and his effort, what he did, he has created for himself what he thinks is the perfect life. Wow. Well, let's read on. What does the Lord say? Verse 20, but God said unto him, aha. Now he has to confront God. And we all confront the Lord at one point or another. But God said unto him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then who shall these things be which thou hast provided? Strong words here. God says, thou fool. He calls him a fool. Others might have looked at him and seen a wise farmer. You know, people outside might have looked at that and fell and said, wow, look at him. He's really smart. He really knows how to run his business well. He's got barns so big and they're full and he's having to build bigger ones. He's a wise farmer. He's a wise man. But what did God see? A fool. And God always sees the truth. He saw the truth here. The fool has no good judgment. Someone who is a fool doesn't have a right mind. They don't judge things properly, and that's what God's telling him. The fool doesn't make wise decisions, and that's what we see here too. These are my things, he says. I will say to myself, I will take my things and put them, store them up, and that will make my future okay. But those are the words of a fool, according to the Lord here. Look at one other passage about the fool. Psalm 53 and verse 1. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. The fool hath said in his heart, there is no God. Corrupt are they, and they have done an abominable iniquity. There is none that doeth good. Wow. The fool hath said in his heart, there is no God. That's the mindset of the fool. That's the outlook of the fool. There is no God. There's no good in him. Wow. The Bible makes it real clear to us in many places that good things come from God. Good things come from the Lord. This man doesn't know God. He doesn't acknowledge God. He doesn't acknowledge him at all. And the Lord confronts him with what? The truth. And he says to him, you are a fool. Back in Luke chapter 12 and verse 20 again, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then who shall those things be which thou hast provided? This night. You know what? Life is short. In comparison to the all span of time and eternity, our life here on earth is pretty short. And we don't know how long our life is going to be. No one knows that. Only God knows those things. But think about this fellow. Think about his barns. Think about all he produced. Think about all his efforts, all his work. All his work, all of his efforts were there to make him more happy. Because he said, I've done all this and I'm happy now. But the Lord tells him, you know what, all your work is a waste. If you're not doing it my way. Basically, that's what the Lord's saying to him. Finally, look at verse 21. So is he that layeth up. The Lord ends up his story here. So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. So is he means that this person would be a fool too. This rich farmer here, this rich fella, was a fool for how he did things, for how he laid out his life, or his plans. And the Lord says, so is someone else who lays up treasures for himself and is not rich toward God, does not consider God in all his life and his decisions and those things. He's a fool too. Now, important thing to remind us about here, God doesn't say don't save, don't plan for the future, don't look forward to those kind of things. That's not what this is saying, and that's not what I'm saying. It's not saying it's a sin to do those kind of things. That's not what Jesus was dealing here. The problem here was this young man who came to him, this fellow who came to him, and his attitude, and the attitude of the fellow in the story, our attitude, if we have the same problem. Only thinking of himself. Only thinking of himself. The fellow in the parable here, what does he say? I will do this. Think about myself. I have this. I've built this. I've done this. I've grown this. I have all this. I'll build more barns. I'll put my stuff away. And I'll be okay for many, many years. My future will be okay. He only thought of himself over and over and over again. He did not consider the Lord. And that's what God's reminding us here. Let's read verse 15 again. The Lord says the warning here. Take heed. A warning. Take heed. Look, listen, be careful. Pay attention. Take heed and beware of covetousness. For a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth. Wow. Man's life consisteth not. The meaning of a man's life is not what he owns or what he has. What is important should not be these things. Happy is the man who has the most. Is not the one who has the most. We might say it this way. Happy is the man who doesn't have the most, but who gives the most. Who has that heart attitude. That's what the Lord tells us. Jesus lived that example for us, didn't he? He gave his all. He gave his life. He came and died in our place and sacrificially gave himself. And says to us, give. Give of yourself. The same book of Luke, turn over a couple of pages to Luke chapter 18. Let's look at another story quickly here. Luke chapter 18, starting at verse 18. Jesus again, the other man comes to Jesus. This is in Luke chapter 18, verse 18 says, and a certain ruler asked him, saying, good master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? Jesus said to him, why callest thou me good? None is good save one, that is God. Look what he says next, the Lord's words. Thou knowest the commandments, do not commit adultery, do not kill, do not steal, do not bear false witness, honor thy father and thy mother. Look, the Lord's referring back. The Ten Commandments. The young man says to him, and he said, all these things have I kept from my youth up. Now when Jesus heard these things, he said, yet lackest thou one thing. Sell all that thou hast and distribute unto the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come follow me. And when he heard these things, he was very sorrowful. Why? For he was very rich. The end of that passage tells us. Wow. This rich man thought that those riches that he had were important. But the Lord quickly answers him. You know, what about the commandments? What about these things that we've been taught from long time past? And he answers back quickly. I've kept all those things. I've never killed. I've never stolen. I've never committed adultery. I've never done any of those things. Those things are listed that you listed back to me. Lord, I know the commandments. I know them well. And I've never done any of those things. I have the right life here. But Jesus' words were too much for him, because Jesus said, okay, but you lack one thing. Sell all you have and distribute to the poor. You lack one thing. You lack the right attitude. Your righteous attitude of having obeyed those commandments is not enough. Your heart attitude must be more. Now, reading this, you could get confused and think, oh, wow, that means that if I do these things, then that means I can be assured of going to heaven one day. That's not what the Lord's saying here, by giving money or by giving things. Think about that other commandment that says not to covet. The Lord didn't mention it here, but it's implied the same idea. Think about that idea. You know what? No one can truly be saved. No one can put their faith and trust in the Lord as Savior who thinks only of self. Because salvation means realizing our sinful condition, doesn't it? It means confessing to the Lord and turning from ourself to the Lord. That's what salvation means. It's like the same concept as covetousness, as selfishness, as being self, thinking only of self. We put our trust in the Lord alone for salvation. We can't help ourselves. We have to trust in what the Lord did. This young ruler here in Luke 18 was kind of like the fellow there in the parable in Luke chapter 12. He thought of himself. His focus was on himself, on his possessions. They were important to him. The fellow here in Luke chapter 18, well, Lord, I've kept those other commandments. But what about your attitude? But what about your heart? Are you willing to give of yourself? And immediately, what does it say? He went away sorrowful. He could have gone away happy and rejoicing had he agreed with the Lord and what's right, what God was trying to teach him. But he went away sorrowful because he just couldn't agree with what the Lord said. So you know what? For us as believers, as Christians, it's a very strong warning over there in Luke 12. Very strong warning that we read earlier. I like the way Paul says it over in Philippians chapter 12. Paul says, for me to live is Christ, to die is gain. To live is Christ. Living for Christ. What does that mean? Living for Christ means living for others, not living for yourself. That's what living for Christ is. Living for Christ doesn't mean putting yourself first. It means putting yourself last and putting God first and His things first. That's what Paul did. Having that attitude. That's what Jesus is trying to teach here through this parable in Luke chapter 12. That's why he says a very severe warning. Take heed and beware of covetousness. Probably the most overlooked of the commandments. As the rich young fellow said there in Luke 18, I've never killed anyone. I've never stolen. I haven't done those things. Yeah, but how's your heart? Yeah, we can see those things on the outside. No, you haven't killed anyone. You haven't gone to prison for any of those horrible crimes, and you're not ashamed in the community because of doing things that would be ashamed. No. People can see all those kind of things. But what about your attitude toward others and toward what God gives you and toward your possessions? What's that like? And as soon as he was confronted with that and faced with that, it says he went away sorrowful. How sad that is. You know, we don't have to go away sorrowful. We can go away happy if we will realize that we have to do it God's way, though. We cannot think of ourselves, as I said earlier, and believe on the Lord and put our faith and trust in Him as Savior. You can't think of self only and do that. And you know, after you've trusted Him as Savior and you want to live for Him and serve Him, you can't think of self then either. You have to put self aside and think of the Lord and live for Him and serve Him and have that attitude. Jesus, it's wonderful. What a blessing He does, how He takes advantage of these opportunities to teach us something. And as we've seen today, what a wonderful blessing. It was a warning about something that we can overlook so easily if we're not careful. That's our attitude. Not just our attitude, by the way, not just our attitude toward possessions, for things. The stories we've seen talked about someone who had a lot, his barns were full, or this rich young ruler who had a lot of possessions. It's not just our possessions, it's our whole heart attitude that must be like that. Our attitude toward the Lord must be not mine, but not my will, but Thy will, Lord. That's what we must seek. Let's pray. Thank You, Heavenly Father, for this time this morning. We've had to come together here and look at Your Word. Thank You for teaching us the right place for things in our life. Possessions, Lord, we need things, of course, to live. But we need to have the right attitude about them. We need to have the right attitude about our future and how we, the attitude we have toward the things that we have and what we do with them, Lord. We need to be thankful for how You bless us and how You care for us and what You do for us, Lord, and be, have that attitude of being wanting to be used by You and be submitted to You. And Lord, thank You for teaching us that, God. I pray that You'd bless the remainder of the day. Bless the services to follow, Lord. I pray that You work in the hearts and lives of each one here today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.